I got to the point where I didn't feel valued. Wow. So that's really where I started to think, and not from my direct leader. You know, I had great bosses and directors and executive, you know, depending on where I was within my career. I never felt like my direct leadership didn't value me and my contributions. But it was, here are these folks at the very top of this large corporation that are making decisions, and probably the right decisions, but the way within which they are sharing those decisions and implementing those decisions, the trickle-down effect was very negative to me. So that's really when I started to think, like, is this what I want to do for the next half of my life? Mm-hmm. Is this how I want to feel every day and bring that home to my kids and show them that this is, you just kind of do this, you go to work and you have these feelings, and or do I want to try to do something different that has a positive impact on a different group, a greater group, and also show my kids, like, you can kind of do whatever you want and reinvent yourself at 41 years old if that's what you so choose.
Welcome to the Discovering Your Calling podcast. I'm your host, Sherry Miter. I'm here to help you unleash your strengths and get clarity on your calling. I believe when you find your purpose in life, fulfillment, joy, and success will follow. If you're ready, pop in those earbuds, hit that follow button, and join me on this journey toward discovering your calling. Our guest today is Lindsay Scheel, a happily married mother of four that left her 19-year utility career to pursue full-time leadership coaching. The month after retiring, her daughter was diagnosed with epilepsy. And Lindsay shares in her conversation this remarkable story and how she felt the nudges and the whispers from God and how she followed them. And she felt called to make that change in her career that then allowed her to make her daughter's care the priority in her life. Lindsay also shares her story of being a first-generation college graduate with an engineering degree and how that impacted her decision to start her career, and then how it impacted life when she chose to leave that career to become a full-time leadership coach. You're going to love this conversation, and hopefully it inspires you if you're feeling called and nudged to make some big changes, that maybe you'll take Lindsay's advice that she gives at the end of the podcast. So stay tuned, listen in, enjoy the conversation, and again, wait for her advice at the end, and I hope you will follow it. Well, welcome to the Discovering Your Calling podcast, Lindsay. I'm excited to dive into this conversation with you and hear all of your amazing story and where God has led you and taking you from and to and through in the past few years.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And I'm excited to chat as well.
Great. So, and I know we've been chatting a lot about my story, but I'm really like, I really don't know a lot about your story. So I always just love to let things unfold on air. Great. So we can hear this. And so take us back to, you know, how long ago was it? And where were you working before you made that decision that you needed to make a change?
Sure. So I'm going to step back just even a little bit further and just share that I am a first generation college graduate in my family. So I graduated with an engineering degree after I got married. Before I started having kids, I got an MBA, and I really had a lot of aspirations to do big things and to try to really kind of climb that corporate ladder. So right out of college, I was fortunate to receive a job at our local utility. So I came back home, was excited to be close to family, but still have a lot of different opportunities. So I started there, was kind of on like a fast track engineering program for new upcoming leaders, and had a great career. I was with the company for almost 19 years. So I was able to have kids. I got married, have kids, be in a lot of different leadership positions. So I worked my way up through leadership, went to different organizations to kind of help those organizations out if they were having any type of staffing issues, if they were having any type of quality issues. And so loved the work I did. I had no complaints. I mean, you know, I maybe encountered a leader here or there that I was like, maybe not the best fit, but overall enjoyed my career. Never really thought that I would go work anywhere else or do anything else. So I was in a role most recently there, or my most recent role there, And I was like, what am I doing? You know, what is my next steps? Because I knew it wasn't the right fit at that time, but knew I had opportunity. And so was kind of just, you know, working around, you know, still meeting with, you know, the folks that I knew that could kind of help me, working with those people that had different influence. And the company was going through some changes and they were offering a voluntary separation plan. And I was like, never, I mean, there'd been many throughout my 19 years there, you know, depending on the year, depending on the financial state of the business. I was like, oh, let me consider this for a minute. Again, never would have considered it, but I was like, I'm maybe at a point in my life where I do need something different or I want to do something different. So I talked to my husband and I'm like, I don't, you know, we were both like, I don't know. We really have a great life that we live. We have great benefits. And so kind of in jest, I was like, I think if like they were the offer was right, I would take it. My husband was like, oh, okay, whatever, you know? Well, it was very interesting because one night after they had announced that they were going to do this, but before they really sent out any details, I had a dream. And I'm not like, I don't have dreams all the time, or if I do, I mean, I probably do, but I just don't remember them. But I had this dream that they came out with the offer and said, like, we're going to, based on all the information, like, we're going to give you this dollar amount. And it was much more than I had ever expected. And so the next day I woke up and I told my husband, I was like, good, listen to this dream. They offered me this, like, that's so crazy. Well, literally a few days later, they sent out what the packages would look like for the individuals if you were to choose to pursue the separation. And it was within like a few thousand dollars. Like, wow. It was, yeah, right.
And I'm crazy.
Like, I'm like, that is so crazy, right? So like, this was a number that I never would have expected. It was a much bigger package than had ever been offered in the past. And I was like, this is so crazy. Like, that's interesting. And prior to this, I had started to kind of dabble in leadership coaching. And so I was kind of doing that part-time. And obviously within my leadership roles in the corporation, you know, I had a lot of experience helping leaders grow and, you know, get different promotions. And so I had been doing that and I was like, maybe this is my sign, right? Mm-hmm. To step away from corporate and really take a look at what value I can bring to others on a different scale. I also am very involved in my community. I am on the local school board. I am our local regional leader for Girl Scouts. I participate in Kiwanis. My husband runs a youth program for basketball that I'm really involved in as well. So I'm like, I have things to bring to people, right? And so again, different than maybe what I thought my aspirations were when I was younger and newer into this corporate world. So we decided together that this was our plan, is that I was going to take this. And, you know, there was still a lot of like, oh gosh, is this the right decision? You know, I had these signs that were positive, but I had to make a decision. You know, they're not going to just let you say the last day, yeah, okay, I'll take it. Like, you had, right. You know, I had to apply, they had to approve it. Then, you know, you had this time frame to rescind it. And I went through all those motions, and it was getting to the time that it was getting close to the end of my working time with the company. And my daughter, so we have four children, my husband and I, they range from 7 to 15. We have three boys and one girl. Our daughter started to have these weird eye issues. And I'm like, it's okay. Like, I'll be done working shortly. So we had been getting into some specialists and I was like, you know, we'll have the time to take care of it. Regardless, we would have taken care of it. Right. I only had like 2 weeks of work left when this started. So then we started to see some specialists and we ended up finding out that she has epilepsy. And so for me, that really cemented that, like, God gave me these signs to make this humongous decision, life-altering decision for not only me, but our entire family, to say, you need this rest. You need this time for reflection. You have these skills that you can use in other ways, but you need to be with your family and you need to take the learnings and stresses of that and build those into what your next part of life looks like.
Yeah. It's amazing. Sort of like, it gives me shivers that, you know, when we trust the signs and, you know, God knows what's ahead for us. And, you know, thank God we don't know what all's ahead for us. I think we'd all like never leave our rooms, right? We know everything that's coming down the path, good and bad. But how amazing that he nudged you along, it sounds like, without you knowing maybe that that's what it was, or maybe you did with that. I'm curious, like, to go back, because you said you know, you'd already started kind of doing some leadership coaching. So, like, where was your mindset in that whole process, besides just like, oh, this is a big, you know, financial decision, big life change situation? But you'd mentioned that there had been some changes in the company, or some changes that you were already wondering, where do I fit? Where do I belong? You know, so bring us back to that moment of just that decision before you even knew that there was a separation package coming. Like, what was that feeling of, I don't know, was it discontent? Like, how would you label that?
So it was, I don't know if discontent is the right word. It was more of uncomfortableness and different experience than I'd had in the past. And it was so much that it kind of had me pause more than I'd ever paused before. And a big part of the discomfortness was leadership changes. And I always tell people, I'm like, I'm passionate about leadership or the lack thereof. And so, like, I feel that as individuals, we have so much opportunity to influence so many people. And maybe that so many people is the kids at our dining room table or the neighbors down the street. But we still have that ability and we have that opportunity in us. And so when we use that, not in a positive way, think of what that consequence is. And so in the company, again, you know, there were some changes and I understood the changes and I didn't have a problem with the changes. It was very much the way within which leadership chose to share those changes, implement those changes. And for 18 years, I had felt like a valued employee. Even when I started as an entry-level engineer, I felt valued. And then I got to the point where I didn't feel valued. Wow. And so that's really where I started to think, and not from my direct leader. You know, I had great bosses and directors and executive, you know, depending on where I was within my career. I never felt like my direct leadership didn't value me and my contributions. But it was, here are these folks at the very top of this large corporation that are making decisions and probably the right decisions. But the way within which they are sharing those decisions and implementing those decisions, the trickle-down effect was very negative to me. Mm-hmm. And I know others, but like, this is about me.
right.
And so that's really when I started to think, like, is this what I want to do for the next half of my life? Mm-hmm. Is this how I want to feel every day and bring that home to my kids and show them that this is, you just kind of do this, you go to work and you have these feelings, and or do I want to try to do something different that has a positive impact on a different group, a greater group, and also show my kids, like, you can kind of do whatever you want and reinvent yourself at 41 years old if that's what you so choose.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I think, you know, this newer generation and starting, like, my sons are all in their 30s now. And I see it mostly with my youngest son, who's 30, he'll be 32 this year, to do the math, very much with him of this, they will not stay in a job that they do not feel fulfilled, that does not align with their purpose, does not make an impact. Like, they are very passionate about that the job has to matter to them. It's not just a paycheck. It's not just about benefits anymore. Like, our generation was all about the benefits, the security, right, all of that. I also noticed with him and I think it's even more so now on, you know, probably your kids, that they also want that freedom and flexibility to have a life.
Right. And I think that for me, as I reflect back, like, COVID, I hate to use the word, really brought to light a lot of different things that maybe we hadn't considered in the past.
Oh, 100%.
And we made some, and I say we, like, as the country, as the workforce, right, whatever. We made good choices out of that. And then we made some not so good choices. And then to figure out what that looked like and how to balance those choices as we kind of came out of the pandemic, I think really spoke to who we have as strong leaders and who we don't, and who truly values that culture kind of that you're talking about, that your kids so strive to be in, that it really kind of showed the gap of who the good guys are versus the maybe not as good guys. Mm-hmm. And so out of that, I really, again, was like, okay, that lack of leadership, like, how do I help people strike that balance of being that leader that people want to be with and follow, and but also know that they're making the right decisions for the right reasons.
Right, right. And I like how you took that, because I always say that usually it's whatever are the problem we see in the world. And, you know, being clear that the world for us isn't necessarily the global, it could be, it might be the globe world that we know, or it might be, like you said, Lindsay, it might be our community. Mm-hmm. It might be, like you said too, the dining room table, you know, or it could be the state that we live in, or whatever that world is for us. I can't think of the right word there that I'm looking for, but it's the problem we see there. And that usually becomes our mission.
Yes.
Because we see something that other people don't even notice sometimes. But when we dive into and we dissect, and I think too, going back with the COVID, I feel like COVID just gave people space to think.
I could definitely agree with that.
To be quiet, forced to stop the hustle and the busyness and just pause for a moment in time, because there wasn't anything else to do.
Right.
So we had this opportunity to just pause and think and prioritize, like, what am I doing with my life? And I think that's why there were so many people making shifts afterwards of their careers, or, you know, it's still trickling. It'll never stop now. But, you know, to take that, what you saw, this problem in leadership, this opportunity you had available to you, and then to step into that role to start leading, or, you know, teaching leadership. So I do want to back up though.
Sure.
Because you said, and I mentioned this before, you said that you were already coaching leaders. How did that happen while you were still working? Because
right.
And I ask because a lot of people, I think this is how with the progression is the safer progression to take. It's not mm-hmm. always, because we're not always offered that severance pay, you know, that severance.
Right, right. Yes, again, I was asked. Thank you.
But for a lot of people, it is, you have to do a couple of things that for a short amount of time. So
right.
Talk a little bit about what was that like first, and then go into what you're doing today.
Yeah. So I was really looking for opportunities. So, I mean, this sounds kind of like a spoiled-ish problem, but I was like, we had taken our family to Disney World, and Disney World is expensive, especially yes. when you have four children, right? Like, I'm like, how do people do this every year? Because again, my husband and I both make good sailors. I was like, that is still a big trip. And so I was really looking for ways, like, what skills do I have? What things can I do to make extra income so that we can do some of those bigger trips maybe every year, every other year? So it really was more kind of like that side hustle, right? Mm-hmm. To say, like, what things can I do? So, you know, within my network, I was able to start to dabble in it. And so that's kind of what switched that light on for me, was I was just like looking for ways to make that extra money to be able to provide more for my kids and my husband and I than I was already.
No, I love that. And honestly, like, that's why we start a lot of the side hustles. It's a very, I guess maybe we could call it selfish. I don't know if it is
right.
For your family. You know, it's not really selfish right. For your family. I mean, I was in direct sales, and that's why I started. I wanted right. to go on vacations besides camping. I
right.
wanted money to do things, you know, they let the kids play the sports teams. And then it grew, you know, beyond that. But initially, I think that's why a lot of us do start. And like I said, being in a network marketing business, I saw that was primarily the number one reason why any woman yeah. joined that company. Was, I remember one of my consultants, she wanted a real live band for her wedding.
I love that.
And that's why she joined.
Yeah.
But she stayed in because afterwards right. she, you know, like, oh, wait, this is pretty cool. I'm making extra money. So now we can do these other things
right.
too. But yeah. So I think that's great that to have that motivation, because we will do more for our kids a lot of times
right.
as moms, right? Than
right.
we will do for ourselves. And that you found that, like, what am I good at?
Yep.
What do I enjoy? What am I passionate about? Going back to that mission.
Correct. Yes.
For leadership. So how did that evolve? Like, what did that look like then as you made this new change and progression?
Right. So I knew, you know, that I'd had some success on a much smaller scale, but that along my journey, I've learned a lot of things, right? I know, again, I've seen good, I've seen bad, I've seen what's worked for me, I've seen what's worked for others. And so I know I primarily work with women, not that I'm opposed to working with men, because I always would joke with my male leaders, like, I can definitely manage up to you. Like, I can manage you from below, like, no problem. Yeah. But, you know, there's women that want to do big things, but maybe don't have the confidence, don't think that they have the skill set. And so it really was just honing in on who can use the help that I can provide. And again, it can be in a corporate perspective. You know, we have different leaders, you know, within our communities. So I'm open to whatever type of leader, but really people that are looking for, you know, different opportunities that, you know, are maybe newer to being a leader. And so they haven't had teams, but also women that, you know, just feel overwhelmed because of how quickly they've gone up the ladder and just need that ally to say, okay, this is, you're doing the right thing. Right. And so I really also, you know, talk a little bit about the difference between mentorship and coaching, where I think that both roles are important for folks. And so I probably digressed a little bit. So, you know, I work with folks to just really to give them some of those extra tools in their tool belt to make sure that they are feeling the confidence and knowing that they have the ability to do all the things that they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was thinking that, like, I could see where you would be a great mentor coach for somebody that was looking to get, because you were kind of in a man's world, right?
Yeah. So there were many times where I was the only woman in the conference room.
Right. And one of my clients I had a while back, she was very similar, you know, in a tech field, and she was very passionate about helping other women, not necessarily in her same company, but the same type of field. Like, how do you navigate this world as a woman and 100%. Do it confidently and successfully? So I think that's right. All.
Yeah. Because I mean, you know, in my experiences, you know, there's different ways a woman can approach their career. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the women that are definitely using their masculine selves to try to get there. And then there's women that are more timid because they don't have some of that confidence. And so it's really, what's the right balance for you as an individual to then accomplish the goals again that you want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I want to go again back. Sorry, I keep going back.
Yeah, no worries.
I just wrote down a couple of things as you were saying them. And I know you said you were, you know, first generation graduate, college graduate. How did your family feel about your decision, like your extended family, to step away from that? Because I feel like, and I ask the question because I know so many times we stay someplace because of societal opinions we're afraid of, or family opinions we're afraid of, or, you know, all those emotional thoughts that we have. So what was that like, announcing it's that almost, decision?
It's almost like you listen to the conversations between me and my dad. For the most part, I would say, like, my people, so my family, my close friends, you know, they're very supportive, and they were supportive. And they're like, I think probably to my face, they were like, that's so great. But probably, you know, again, you know, behind closed doors, they're probably like, she's crazy. My dad was much more vocal about, she's crazy. And I had done, you know, fairly well, you know, for, you know, the role I was in, the flexibility I did have in my role, the salary I was making, the benefits that came with that job. So yeah, he was very, he still is today, like, are you sure this is what you should have done? So that's hard, right? Because it's like, I know this is what I need to do, and this is where my heart is, and I am confident I can do big things. But then you have those voices that do make you question yourself, right? Because not that, I mean, my dad is my biggest fan. He will support me in whatever I do, but he's still, are you sure this was a good choice? And so it's really like even faking that confidence where I'm like, yeah, I mean, I've got this. I mean, and I've, you know, shown that progress and proved that, you know, I can be successful in this role. Right.
But you walk away and say, no, I'm not, Richard.
Exactly. Exactly. But, you know, I have a coach, and I mean, she is helpful. And I even, you know, like I mentioned, my daughter was diagnosed with epilepsy. So it was a big change with that. And then this big career change. So I've started therapy. Like, I, you know, I think that there are people that can come in and out of our lives that can be our allies and can help us. And There's no right or wrong answer. And so just to kind of balance things out, that was the choice that I decided to make, was to bring on a couple people that I knew would champion me. Not that I had any loud haters, but I'm doing the things to make sure that I can be as successful as possible.
Right. No, that's so smart, because I think we need to put ourselves, especially if we're stepping away from one environment that we've known, and everybody in our world kind of comes from that environment. So if everybody in our world is a 9-to-5er, and now we want to step into a different role, whether it be, I'm now going to be a, leadership coach, I'm now going to run my own business, mm-hmm. I'm not just going to be, I just want to stay home with my kids. Like, whatever it is that we're changing to, we need to find a new environment that will support that, because otherwise we get pulled back into this other world that we know, they know, and we have to be around like-minded people. So to hire a coach, get yourself in that environment is so essential. Otherwise, it's so hard to do it alone. So hard to make those changes.
Definitely. It's almost like a whole new identity, right? I mean,
because it is, yeah.
For 19 years, I went to work, or took calls on the way to school, and now I'm like, oh, this is different. This is so different. And it's fulfilling in different ways. And I have good days still, and I have bad days still. And so again, yes, just definitely bringing on folks to help you is the right thing to do.
And talk a little bit about that identity. I have a whole podcast on that. We talked about that when my husband, he was a professional firefighter. And he's one of those people that knew he wanted to be a firefighter since he was like 3 years old. Like, that was his identity for his entire life until he turned 60. Wow. So from 3 until 60, he identified as a firefighter, and he made it happen. He did, very well with it. So when he retired, it was challenging. So I've done a couple podcasts on that identity crisis. What was that like for you, and how did you, was it the coach and the therapist, or how did you work through that?
Yeah. So for me, it was not immediate, because as I mentioned, my daughter got her epilepsy diagnosis. And so I'm that mom that I'm like, okay, what specialists do we need to see? Like, who do we need to go to? Get it booked. You can't get me booked out for 2 months, figure it out. Like, I'll call you back every week to get. So for the first September, October, November, like first 4 months that I stopped working in my 9-to-5 job, we were going, I have 4 kids, so we have regular appointments anyway, orthodontist, doctor, mm-hmm. we have that. So like, we're usually going to an appointment a week, but then to add on top all of these specialists, so it didn't almost feel like I had a minute to breathe. Like, it was like I was going from working to, okay, I'm like in mama bear mode where like, we're figuring this out. We're making sure she's seeing all the doctors she needs to see. We've got our medication right. And so it was a different stress that I hadn't experienced, because I've never had a child diagnosed with anything like this, or, have any other types of ailments or anything. And so it really has been kind of like since like January, this new year, where I'm like, okay, I can breathe. And so it's been weird, because it's like, okay, what does my day look like? What are my goals that I want to meet? What are the things that I need to be doing to be successful and be present for my clients? And so it's really restructuring like my whole day, my whole life in a sense. And yeah, definitely. I mean, for me, my coach, my therapist, again, my husband is wonderful. I mean, he's a great support system, but having those two people in my life have helped me to shift my thinking in ways that I don't know that I would have been able to, or at least as efficiently and quickly as I have been able to, if I didn't have them. And so I had hard days. There was days where I was like, I just don't think I can do this. Like, I don't know that this is the right choice. I mean, how many months later, right? And so those folks really helped me recenter. And I really think too, that they're like a neutral party, and it's so hard to kind of get that with your friends or your family. And so, not that they don't care about me as a person, and they both, I believe, want the best for me, it's still a different perspective than I would get from my mom or my sister or my best friend or my husband or even my kids. My kids, I'm you know, when they're like, well, mom doesn't work anymore. that doesn't help the identity situation. But definitely for me, that's been how I've been able to kind of get my head on right post all of this humongous change in my world.
Right. And going back now, I want to spend a little time with about your daughter. And because that was, like we said before, like such a huge God wink that he led you there, knowing what was ahead for you. Did you ever stop to imagine, like, what would you have done if you were still working?
I have. And, you know, again, not to take anything away from my employer, I know they would have accommodated me. That's not the question. But to not have that stressor in your life too, when you're going through this, it was a blessing. I mean, I can't imagine for any type of, you know, disease or issue like this that parents have to deal with that do have jobs that are not flexible, or they don't have the community that we're blessed with. Or, you know, I have another friend that her son is friends with my oldest son. He has epilepsy, and we kind of keep each other on track because, you know, she'll get down or I'll get down. And I'm like, but remember, you know, we have insurance and we have one of the best children's hospitals, you know, an hour away, and we have access to medication, you know, so to keep those things in perspective. But yeah, to not have to like think about, okay, I've got these employees that I have to deal with, or we have these deadlines, or it's just very much been a blessing. And again, everybody I've talked to, I'm like, God works in mysterious ways. Mm-hmm. Everything happens for a reason. Would I ever want to wish epilepsy on my daughter? No, or any child. But the fact that I had these blessings and that the timing worked out like it did, I couldn't have planned that better myself.
Right, right. So what was the time frame? I guess we didn't really, like, so when you got the severance, you left,
so,
and then...
Yeah, so we had to make a decision in May, I think, if we were going to, like, apply for it. Because you had...
Last year, 2023?
Yes, May of 23. Okay. Yeah. And so that's where I was like, and then I was like, I mean, I can apply for it and then still rescind. Like, we had options, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't going to say, and it was based on rule, not individual. And so they approved me. And then you had till June something, I think. And I was like, nope, I'm going to do it. Like, I know I can do what I'm setting out to do. And so the last day of work would have been July 31st. My daughter started having her vision stuff. I think it was July 22nd.
Okay.
So I'd already knew that I was leaving, but her issues didn't start until literally like a week and a half before I was done working.
Wow.
And so that in itself, I'm like, that God's timing, right?
Right.
Like, I didn't have to worry about all these crazy appointments while I was wrapping up things and transitioning work and saying my goodbyes. It's all in God's timing.
Right. That's an amazing story. And how is she now? How is your daughter doing?
She's well. Epilepsy, I would have never known how many people it affects just by talking about it in our community. The people that have said, well, I had seizures as a child, or I live with epilepsy every day, or my child has epilepsy. Like, it's amazing. We, again, we're blessed with a wonderful community, and they have come together for our family and, you know, have done anything and everything that they can for us. We're lucky. The medication, the doctor she sees, things right away, put her on a medication cocktail. We pretend she's an old lady in the morning with all of her pills. And I'm like, get your old lady pill box. Uh-huh. And so we've been blessed that since we've gotten the medication levelized, she hasn't had any seizure activity. And so she's doing very well. You know, I read stories about people that have to deal with seizures every day, and my heart breaks for them. And so we're very blessed.
Right. And it's probably so good, like you said, that you could just go into mama bear
mode
and be on top of things, because it probably felt like a new full-time job in the process.
It really did. It was like, you know, everyone's like, how is retirement? I'm like, well, I'll let you know when we're not driving, you know, an hour three times a week.
Right. So really then, like you said, you're just stepping into that this year.
Yeah. So once, I mean, we did some like last appointments over to the December holiday break, and, you know, now we're on a regular schedule where it's like, oh gosh, like I can really focus every day on the things that are not only helping my business, but the people that I'm serving.
Awesome. So anything else, Lindsay, as we wrap things up here that we didn't get to that you think would be important to somebody listening to this, somebody that maybe is in that same situation, is like, ooh, I have this opportunity to step away. Should I take it? Or that they just feel called, like, I think God's nudging me in a different path. What would you say to that woman or man?
I would just say that through my coaching, through my therapy, like, you need to pause and really listen to those nudges. And if you're questioning something, there's a reason that you're questioning it. And so to really lean into that and just sit with it and then make your decision.
Great advice. Great advice. And how can somebody reach out to you, follow you, find you?
Yeah. I'm mainly on LinkedIn and Facebook, Lindsay Scheel, under both of those. So happy to chat with anybody about anything. So those are the best ways to get a hold of me.
Great. So if somebody has a child with epilepsy, right?
Yes, please. I'm not the smartest on the topic, but I've learned a lot. And so I'm always open to learning more and to helping however I can.
And then leadership, or perhaps that woman on the trying to break into the man's world. So
yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on the Discovering Your Calling podcast today and sharing your story of just really the God winks there. And I'm glad your daughter's doing better. And I'm glad you made that decision. So you followed the nudges.
Yes, I appreciate it.
Thank you for spending this time with me. My hope is something you heard today inspires you to take action toward discovering your calling. I just have two favors to ask of you before you go. One, if you found value and enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and you might hear your review read on a future episode. And two, can you share this episode with three friends who will also enjoy it as much as you did? By doing these things, you will help us grow the podcast to make a bigger impact on the world. And until next week, remember, you've been created to live a life of fulfillment, freedom, purpose, success, and joy.